Good morning. An essential mark of a church that is truly Christ-centered is its emphasis upon the gospel in all areas of her ministry. Well, by God's grace, this is what we strive to do here at Faith Baptist Church, especially on Sunday mornings when we gather together for corporate worship. We love to sing about the gospel. We rejoice in rehearsing the gospel through the preaching of God's word. Our time of fellowship is kindled by the gospel. And this morning, we have the privilege of seeing the gospel played out before us. The waters of baptism, what you see behind me, is a beautiful portrait of the gospel. It is an ordinance, along with the Lord's Supper, given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism by immersion depicts a spiritual reality which has taken place in the life of the Christian, our union with Jesus Christ. We have three candidates this morning who want to testify to this reality before us. They want to take this step of obedience in order to identify with Jesus. By way of this outward sign, they want to attest, they want to profess to the inward spiritual and radical work of conversion which God has brought about in their lives. They have died to sin. The power of sin which once held them captive has been broken for good. They have been buried with Christ and raised with Him to a new life of grace. The Apostle Paul expresses this truth in his letter to the church in Rome in the following way: "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." So this morning, we are eager to witness as a church. We are eager to celebrate and rejoice as the people of God, celebrating God's saving grace in the life of these three wonderful people who will be baptized in a moment. They want to go public with their profession of faith to Jesus Christ. They want to proudly put on the team jersey of belonging to Jesus Christ. And in doing so, they also desire to identify with the body of Christ, the new covenant people of God, you and I, as members of this local church. So it behooves us then, as a church, to recognize the three candidates as believers and affirm them as members of Jesus' team and welcome them into membership at Faith Baptist Church. Together we pledge to love, care for them, and invest into their spiritual maturity, longing to see them continually rooted and built up in Christ. Now for a few minutes this morning, I want to reflect on a familiar passage from Scripture as we consider the great privilege entrusted to us by our Savior to pursue baptism as disciples of Jesus Christ. For that, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Right at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. Last couple of sentences of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Just before ascending into heaven at the right hand of his Father to be crowned with the highest, most exalted status ever bestowed, Jesus gathers his disciples around a mountain in Galilee and entrusts them with a specific task, an enduring command with a universal scope, not restricted by ethnic or cultural boundaries. Over the centuries, this brief section right at the end of the Gospel of Matthew has come to be known as the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Now, the temptation in every generation has been to read what Jesus is saying here affirm the validity of his statement and yet simply consider it as a special pursuit by a select few elite Christians, missionaries, evangelists, cross-cultural church planters. So while the heading in our Bibles might read the Great Commission with bold letters, in practice, however, we're prone to interpret the words of Jesus as nothing more than a great suggestion. Beloved, what Jesus is saying here is not some add-on or voluntary pursuit by Christians. We can't treat these words the same way we would react to someone who's trying to sell us that optional car insurance coverage. No, this is the mandate we have been given by Christ as a church until he returns. Now, even though Jesus is speaking here to his disciples, the larger principle of what he is saying cannot be obeyed apart from the church. I say this because everything Jesus is commanding from his disciples in our passage, namely making more disciples, first part of verse 19, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, second part of verse 19, and teaching the word of God, verse 20, all of this is part and parcel of what a healthy, biblically faithful, God-glorifying, Spirit-led church must be continually pursuing in every corner of this world. Now, let's go back for a moment to the opening words of Jesus in this passage, starting at verse 18. If we truly embrace who Jesus claims to be, what Jesus is saying about himself, baptism, in obedience to Jesus Christ, must naturally follow. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, the spirit of this age takes great pleasure in worshiping the idols of individualism, relativism, and self-gratification. Therefore, it recoils at any notion of power and authority. But much worse, it vehemently strives to suppress the truth that Christ Jesus alone, the one speaking these words, has every right to be worshipped exclusively and obeyed by all peoples as the all-sovereign Lord of the universe. But thankfully, the matchless glory of our Savior does not depend on what anyone thinks or believes about him. You see, the supremacy of the one giving this charge far transcends any authority held by a parent, a government official, a geopolitical jurisdiction, or even a Supreme Court judge. Jesus Christ alone has universal and boundless authority given to him by his Father, which knows no limitations or conditions to be met. In the words of Abraham Kuyper, the Dutch statesman and theologian of the 19th and early 20th century, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, "Mine." There's nothing less to expect from someone who perfectly fulfills all the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament, who successfully accomplished God's work of perfect redemption through his life, death, and resurrection, who now reigns in glory, given the name that is above every name in the heavens and the earth, before whom every knee will bow, and who has been delegated by his Father as the head of the church, given the rightful place of preeminence over her. So to understand and believe all this about Jesus requires humble submission to what he is commanding his church to carry out in response, taking it to heart and gladly obeying the mandate given to us by our sovereign Lord to go and make disciples. What is about to take place behind me in a few minutes is a non-negotiable reality in the sense that it is a natural corollary, if you want, to being a disciple of the risen Christ, having already embraced by faith the gospel of Jesus Christ. By God's amazing grace, these three candidates that you'll meet in a moment have responded to the message of the gospel in faith. They now want to affirm their love to their Savior by being plunged under the water and being pulled up out of it in baptism. And as they do this, I'm also confident they will heed to the second specific requirement set out by Jesus in our passage in verse 20, to continue being taught the Word of God by the rest of us in the context of Faith Baptist Church as they strive to grow in their faith, longing to follow the one about whom the entirety of the Bible testifies in one glorious symphony. Really, the vision that Christ is setting before us this morning is a simple one. Disciples, making more disciples, who in turn go out and make more disciples. And all the while, as more disciples are made, the sign of the gospel in baptism is put on public display everywhere Christ is preached. One of the greatest joys in the life of the local church is to see men and women redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, openly devoting themselves to following their Savior within the fellowship of his body, having counted the cost of discipleship. There is no greater assurance in pursuing this than to know that the one who has been given all authority over absolutely everything promises to be with his church to the end of the age. Right? Don't miss out on the twin poles, so to speak, of Jesus' supremacy and deity as bookend statements by Matthew to the Great Commission, and especially as we consider Jesus' command to baptize his disciples. The more the power and glory of Jesus is at the forefront of our mission as a church, the more unmistakable and clear the dividing line between the world and the church will be. Having been set apart by God from sin and the evil course of this world, we pursue baptism, dear Christian, to make much of the unchanging gospel which has united us to Jesus in his death and resurrection. We pursue baptism to affirm before unbelievers the grace of having our sins forgiven and being made right with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, inviting them also, if there are any unbelievers here, to turn away from their sins and believe in this glorious gospel. We pursue baptism knowing that it compels us to much praise as we reflect upon the wonders of God's boundless love and mercy lavished upon his people and his Son through the saving power of the gospel. Amen.